Reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through to verse 18. This is Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, and we always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. And may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and will do it. Amen. And may God bless this reading to us this evening from His Word. Over the last few weeks, as you know, Sheena's been talking and sharing with us names that are attached to God, names that help us understand something of the nature of God. And we've been thinking about Jehovah Jireh, the God who is the all-sufficient one, the God who is our provider, the God who goes before us, the God who sustains us. And a part of this whole idea of learning to be a people of praise is to knowing the God we praise. And it's that understanding of who He is that enables us to have a different kind of life and to live differently and to be people of praise. And I think we worry about so many things. There is nobody in the church tonight who has never worried about something. And perhaps you're worrying tonight about something. And that worry stops you from praising, and it puts a dampener on so many things in your life. And maybe some people just by nature were people who always look on the, instead of the bright side of life, we always look in the dark side of life. It's going to be worse than it really is. We're people that live life at 3 o'clock in the morning syndrome. You know the 3 o'clock in the morning syndrome? Well, if you don't know about that, those of you who don't know about that, I'm glad you don't know about that. But some of us do know about it. And the 3 o'clock in the morning syndrome is when you get up at 3 in the morning and you can't get to sleep and you're lying and you're tossing in bed because everything's going through your head and you're racing away ahead of everything. And you know, by this time, your life is just about crashed. You've lost your family, you've lost your home, you've lost everything, and everything's in a terrible state. And then you get up in the morning and you think, well, maybe it's not as bad as that after all. But it's so easy to be someone who always sees the dark side and to get caught up in that. And how do we help one another not to go into that scale of thinking? Perhaps knowing that God is the all-sufficient one. He is my provider. He says, I hold you in the palm of my hand, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Or we were thinking this morning that Sheena was talking about healing and the picture of Jehovah Rapha, the one who is the healer. You know, He is my health, He is my healing, He is my physician. And so, a knowledge of the God who is our healing, the God who works with us, who is continually with us, who is healing us and restoring us and making a difference in the way we live our lives. And we are all broken people. There's none of us here in church this evening who's not broken in some way. And the wonderful thing about the gospel is that He is the redeeming God who comes to heal us and to be continually healing us and bringing us to the place where he wants us to be. And then, of course, we were talking, I believe, again, Sheena was talking about Jehovah and Nissi. I always think it's a bit like all these things are not quite right for me, because unfortunately I think of Jehovah Nissan and I'm thinking of Jehovah Jireh, you know, and I get these things mixed up. So I'm sorry if I've now messed all this up for you. But Jehovah Jireh works really well for me, because the Jireh was the sufficient one, the one who supplied your needs. And there's a sense in which this Jehovah Nissi is the God who is like a banner. He is my banner. He is my, you might say, my brand. He is my brand name. He is who I want the world to know I am. He is the one I hold him up and praise him for all he is, because he is my banner. He is my victory. He is the one in whom I can trust. And so it goes on, and Sheena's been looking at these different names for God, and tonight I wanted to take all that and get us to think about it, but to bring it into a very practical way for us to start thinking just about this verse that's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful always. There is the challenge. How can you be joyful? How do we get into that situation where we're men and women who have a sense of joy in our lives because of what God has done for us? And part of that is learning to become people who know that we're called to be people to praise God for all he has given us. And part of that, how do we do that, is there are four basic ministries in the church. And if you think about them and remember them, they're four W's. I use them in the prayer tonight. But it's just broad things, but it really is. It covers everything. There's the ministry of worship. We're called to worship God. And there's a ministry in witness. We're called to be witnesses to what God is doing in our lives, aren't we? And then the third W is witness, worship. Got it in my head? The Word. Because it's as we gather around the Word of God that we hear, we are strengthened. How would we ever know of the goodness of God unless we had His Word to teach us? All we could do is we could look around at the beauty of the world and understand some things about the Creator and make up some idea about what this Creator might be like. But it's the Word of God that helps us understand and brings us the story and tells us about Jesus and links it all back into the very beginning, into Genesis chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then it goes on to say, and God saw that it was good. God was into it. God thought, this is good. You know, and it's almost like God full of praise and saying, this is good. And God created men and women and said, they're good. I love them. And I will put my spirit into them. And then, of course, if you want it, and again, how would you know all this if we didn't have Ephesians that tells us what we're called to live to the praise of his glory? That's what our living's about, to praise the praise of his glory. So the Word is so important. And then Jesus talked to us about the work. You see, this is so practical, but it's so true. There's no point in worshiping God without seeing that part of that worship is tied up with the work. Because Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine. And so in a strange way, worship, the Word, witness, and work all are part and all center around the whole idea of praise. Because it's to bring praise and glory to God. So whatever we're doing, it's about bringing praise to God and bringing glory to his name. So we have people who are called to be people who live for the praise of his glory. And there's a there is something here that we need to work on, all of us. You know, sometimes we say, we go into some churches, why is it? Some of you are maybe good at this, and some of you are not so good at it, and some of you are a wee bit like me, and that's why I can empathize with you when you feel like this. If I tell you how I feel about certain things, you can say, yes, I don't feel like that. Let me explain to you something. Why is it? Now, I'm not knocking, please don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking anybody tonight. Right? It's not a swipe at any groups of people or anyone. But have you never been in this situation where you've gone to a praise meeting somewhere and everybody's into it, they're praising God, and you're sitting there like a cold fish at the end of the table, and you're saying, and part of it is because I don't know any of these people. I don't know them. And somehow you feel you should get involved, but you don't know them. But the strange thing is, if you'd seen me, maybe in another place, with people I know, in a corporate group worshiping, I can throw my hands up in the air, I can do what I want, because I know the people, it seems right. But sometimes it is hard for us to come to church when we don't know one another, to let ourselves go and worship, because the corporate thing, the friendship there, is not there in some way. And that has got to be, we've got to work at that and think that one through, what that means. But the other thing, even before we even get to that stage, I think there's another area that we've got to work on, all of us. And the Bible teaches us and encourages us to be joyful always. Pray continually. Our private worship and our private prayer and our private praise will affect the way we worship in church on a Sunday. If we are journeying with the Lord, if we are praying regularly, if we're praising God in our own lives, then when we come to worship with others, that collective praise will be encountered. And even although we don't know the people, even although the cold fish Albert comes in and sits there, he's no longer a cold fish if he's been praising God and working with God in his daily life. He'll be warmed in that situation. The fire will light. He'll be ignited to praise and to enter into worship, because it will not be foreign, but it will be something that's already been kindling in his heart, and he wants to praise God because he's been working and it's become part of his way of living. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Hard one this week, isn't it, for some people? How do you give thanks in the circumstances of Christchurch? How do you give thanks when somebody is under so much mortar and someone you've loved and you've lost them and you're in that situation? How do you get through that? How do you give thanks when something's been stolen and ripped out of your life and it's not there anymore? How do you give thanks when you're in the midst of everything that's happening in Libya? In every circumstance. And yet there is a strange thing. If you speak to people who have found themselves going through these terrible dark day experiences, they will tell you that there comes a time when they think about it all and they have two journeys to go. They can either go further into the darkness and see no purpose in anything, or they can start to see, to try and make some kind of sense out of the circumstance. Now, if a person is a Christian, they often begin to say, what is God telling me? How is this working out? What do I learn from this? If God loves me, and I believe that, then what do I learn out of this situation? What am I being taught? I don't understand it. I will never understand it completely. But I will give thanks to God for this circumstance. I remember speaking to someone in this congregation who had been diagnosed with cancer. And as we journeyed through the whole cancer experience, I said to the person, we started to talk, and one day this woman said, she said, "I want to give thanks to God for my cancer." And I just listened. And she said, "You see, if I had never been had this cancer, I wouldn't be the person I am today. And I think I'm a better person today than I was so many years ago. I wish I had never the cancer. I don't wish cancer on anyone. I would never want that for anyone. And I'm not even sure that God has brought that into my life. I don't know. But all I know is that through this experience, this circumstance I find myself in, I am learning to give thanks to God for it. And I'm seeing what is good and building something good out of it to make a difference in my life. Learning to be a person of praise. Learning to see these areas in our lives where we can engage with God and thank Him for it and encourage and be encouraged by it. Is so important because God has made us, and I think if we begin to go down that road, God has made us to praise Him, and it will become something that we can do more naturally because God has made us, we have been made to praise. We have got a natural bias to praise. And the thing is this, that the Bible tells us also that the evil one, the evil one seeks to steal the joy of the Lord from our soul. Steal the joy. And part of that is to make us feel as though things aren't going to work out right. To make us feel as though everything's wrong and nothing can be fixed. And what a mess the world is in. And that's how it is. And that's how dark it is. And to creep into the church and to creep into the life of the church and to creep into Christians and to say, "And you know, it's never going to work. And that's not working in that place and it's never going to work in that place." And to bring us down to the extent that we feel so flat that we feel depressed. And I think we've got to guard against that. And we've got to encourage one another. And that's why, again, in Ephesians, we're told when we meet together, to sing songs of praise and to encourage one another in the work of the gospel. Because that's how we grow as Christians. And that's another reason why we shouldn't forsake meeting together. Because it's as we meet together, we're encouraged. And we're a strange bunch. When we meet together, we discover how much we love one another. In a strange way, we miss one another when we don't see one another. Because the Spirit of God is at work in us, building us into His people, into a community that can make such a difference in the world. And all that is tied up with what goes before in verse 16. In verse 12, let's look what goes before in verse 12. "Now I ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you." And the word admonish means to admonish someone is not to always be pointing the finger, but it's to encourage those who come to encourage, but also direct you, and perhaps teach you, and perhaps even sometimes say, You need to go to do a wee bit more. The teacher, the preacher, the elder, those within the congregation who are the leaders, who are there to encourage the people of God, to strengthen them, and sometimes to hold you to account. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. Because it's not easy. It's not easy. And those who lead in the church need the encouragement of one another and need the encouragement of God's people. Because leaders too can get downhearted. Leaders too can have their joy stolen from them. And it happens so easily. With just as someone says a word to you and your joy is stolen from you. But people think that ministers and leaders are different. They think that we're built in a different way and we've got this great shield around us and it doesn't matter what happens, it just things off. But it doesn't. And I know many ministers in the church who go home brokenhearted after a kirk session meeting. I know ministers who dread going to kirk session meeting because they feel they're going to have a hard time. Maybe some of them need a hard time, but they probably don't. They need encouragement. And so we need to think about this part saying, encourage one another. Hold those who are in leadership in high regard. Live in peace with each other. Work out how we can live in peace with each other. And make sure no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Kindness is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Kindness. Such a wonderful, godly thing to be kind to one another. Kindness speaks as that edge to it that when we don't deserve it, gives us the benefit of the doubt. It's almost that motherly figure, the kindness of a mother who sees the good where other people see the fault. And if we as God's people can start to do that, then it changes the kind of people we are. And it lifts our spirits to be people full of joy, thanking God for one another, praying continually in all the circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so this whole area of learning to live in a prayerful, praise-filled life becomes the very breath of the Christian. I think it gives us good health. I really do. I think it's part of the answer to illness is to learn to praise God. And whatever that praise means, if praising God for you is baking a cake and offering it to someone as worship, brilliant. If praising God for you is painting a picture, then paint that picture with all the joy that you can give. If praising God is playing football or going to do something or going to a football match and being involved in something, that you're just saying to God how wonderful this is. See, that was the point why I picked that old hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King. Don't dismiss these old hymns, because you know something? They are far better than many of the more modern hymns we sing. The words are so powerful in them and challenging. You know, and that All Creatures of Our God and King, just think of it. One of the things it's saying is, go out and speak to the sun tomorrow and say to the sun, you're brilliant, but praise God for you. And the sun's praising God. And this is how St. Francis of Assisi saw things too. He saw when he heard the birds singing, he said, see you birds, the birds are praising God. Listen to the birds praising God in the morning. As the spring comes in and you start hearing the birds in the morning, you say, that's them up praising already. Lifting their voices to God in praise. Or the beauty of the trees and the flowers. Or the wind blowing. All creatures, everything. And that was part, again, the Celtic tradition of spirituality that was we were immersing ourselves in the whole of creation and lifting ourselves up to God in praise. And we've lost some of that, brothers and sisters. We really have lost some of that. And we need to engage with that mystery again. And engage with the mystery of praise and the joy of all that brings to us. And then I think when we start working at that kind of level in our prayer life and in our walk, in our daily walk with God, we're able to cope with so many things that get thrown at us. Because we we're holding this song of praise in our heart. And we're letting that song of praise bubble out to touch others. So, let's go from here this evening, celebrating the importance of a praise-filled life and celebrating the importance of our little praise-filled life, even although we think nobody else sees it, but God sees it. And let us celebrate the greatness of the God that we want to serve and praise through our lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.